Hey, hug somebody's neck, shake somebody's hand. If you're married to them or kin to them, kiss them on the cheek. You can be seated. Glad y'all came today. How about that praise and worship? Come on, put your hands together and give your Lord a little love for that. So let me just say, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all your mothers. Come on, put your hands together for your mamas, your grandmamas, all that stuff. Are you hung up, KG? Tubby, come on up. Tubby's going to share with us this morning. She is the mother of my kids. She has been the mother of this church for 23 years. And so, yeah, now you are the grandmother of this church. Yeah, just saying. Tubby's going to share a little bit, encourage you mothers this morning. And so put your hands together and give Tubby a little bit of love as she comes to share this morning.
Okay, but before you go, I got a little something here. Just want to have a little moment with you, Cody, because, you know, for years now, I've just always begged you to match me, like just matching shirts, matching colors, anything. I mean, we have friends that have matching vehicles, like they're on the same team, you know. They do things matchy.
We don't match because it's gay when you match, just saying.
Us girls, we like that. But, hey, wait a minute. Then you know what that means, because you do match Clara. I have noticed y'all have the matching shirts. So in honor of matching, for Mother's Day, for me, you're going to get to match me. Isn't this great? I found me some Jeffrey Dahmer glasses. These are terrible, Cody. Okay, well, love y'all, Bethel. Thankful to be here today. Happy Mother's Day. I am thankful for the privilege just to share a few minutes with you guys and just encourage you mamas, because mamas are just so special. And I just love that there's a day that we celebrate the role of a mama, because it's a job, you know. There's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of beauty in being a mama. It has a lot of great purpose. But it's fun to celebrate the mamas. And I know us mamas, we love our families. We love our kids. Our hearts are deep waters for our families. And you know, we don't get it all right, but that's okay, because, you know, when we continue to hear God's call in our lives and we're reminded of what great beauty there is He has for us in that calling, and then we begin to walk it out and we grow and learn. I mean, just like this church here, I mean, we've been here 23 years, and I cannot even tell you how meaningful it has been for me just to learn from the mamas in this church, just watching the way you raise your kids and the things you do. And it's just a beautiful thing, the way God works all those things together for good. And I know it was no coincidence or accident that the day Will was born is the day that we found out we were coming to serve at Bethel for 2 weeks. And so I just love that, because being a mom, being a parent, it is just one of the greatest, greatest things we can do and invest ourselves in life. And anyway, you'll kind of think, this is funny. I love asking Cody his thoughts on what makes a good mama, you know. And so here's some of the things, mamas, he said that makes us good. And he said, first of all, that us mamas, we need to settle down. Sounds just like him, doesn't it? And then he said, just go ahead when you need to. Go to bed with those dishes dirty in the sink. Leave them. And have a mound of laundry sitting on the couch. We call that Mount St. Helens at my house. And I still have that. And then he said to laugh and to be kind, you know, and that sounds little, but that's huge, y'all. Learn to laugh with your family and your kids, because we're so serious, you know. We have this serious problem, and that's one of the other things Cody said. He said, he said, have serious fun. And so, look, when I was in Mardell's the other day, look what I'm going to read, Cody. It says, have serious fun. So, we'll see what I learn. I'll share with you mamas. And then the main thing that I thought he said, and this is just key, he said, everything else in life, your chores, your duties, the work outside your home, it should always take second place to being a mama. And I love that. And that is pure truth from God's word. It's just such a beautiful thing when we learn to focus ourselves in on what God's called us to do. And this world's not going to teach us that. You know, culture and the world is not about family, you know, and we have to know what we're called to and just be focused on that and intentional with how we're living our lives and how we're loving well. I loved what Mike Harper said when he was here a few weeks ago in this cool series that we're in, this Home Sweet Home. It's just such a great series. He said the difference in a house and a home is the, y'all remember? The, good job, Cody. You were listening. Is the parents. And isn't that the truth? The parents make a home. A house is not a home without parents that make that happen. And so the beauty of our roles is huge. Moms, I know we overcomplicate it a lot. Sometimes we just want to just overthink everything and make everything be such a big deal. And, you know, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and all this. But I just want to share with you just a few scriptures from the Word that I think God has made it very clear exactly what our calling is. And He's made it very simple. In Deuteronomy 6:5, this was one of the scriptures Cody had shared early on, and this has been one of our life verses ever since the Lord blessed us with kids. And it's where he talks about, it's Moses, he's addressing the Israelites, and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then secondly, these words, which I command you today, they shall be in your heart. Now you go and you teach them diligently to your children. And you talk about it when you're sitting in your house, you talk about it when you're walking by the way and as you lie down at night and when you rise up. And so how simple is that and how beautiful is that? And I love that so much because two things. Number one, he's teaching us, man, run hard after God. We haven't got that figured out yet. We are a flesh. We are a fallen people, a fallen world. But when we get in his word, he has such beautiful things to teach us, such beautiful things for our lives. So when we get to know him and his ways, not through the songs that we sing in our car or at church, or not through the preacher, get to know God through a friend or some great speaker we like to listen to. We need to know him ourselves because he's written that letter to us individually. And as mamas, he's got these very specific things for us. And then secondly, as we get to know him, teach it to our kids diligently. That's not given over to the schools. It's parents. We are the ones to teach our kids. We have, as a society in general, we like for other people to do the teaching. And I get it. I'm the same way in certain senses. But God's called us to teach and train our children, whether it's our faith, you know, all the things that they need to know in life, they're going to learn most from us. And so even as we're learning the Word of God, it is a beautiful thing to learn with your children. That's been one of my favorite things over the years. And with my kids is, you know, Cody, you'll sit and do devotions with us a lot of times in the mornings. And then some mornings we just didn't. We weren't rigid about it, but we loved being in the Word together. We look forward to it, sit on the porch and drink coffee. And, you know, I look back, I think how much we really wanted to teach the kids about the foundation and the truth of God's Word. And while we're sitting reading the Word with the kids, we were just learning as much as they were. You know, it just blessed our hearts, and it's just neat to see them get a hold of the truth and how it just, children are cool, y'all. They're like little sponges, and that's why the Lord tries to teach us to be like the children. They have the faith, and it's so awesome for us adults too. You know, that part about teaching your children, you know, one of the things I think is hard for moms sometimes is being present with your kids. And I know we've talked about this a lot here in church and over the years, but it's important to be present with your kids and understand the value of just doing life together. I know with my family, another few little things that we have seen that I think just I've learned from other mamas that I've watched, you know, is just keeping things simple, keeping it understandable, like Cody's preaching, keep it simple. And practical word. I'm teasing, but it's so true. The way he preaches God's word, you can understand it. You understand the stories. It comes to life to you. You realize how real your Savior is just in how he shares the word. And that's how we can be as parents. Just keep that word simple. Get in it with them. Get in the kids' Bibles. The kids' Bibles are so much easier to understand. You know, don't feel like you have to get the harder translations. I mean, a couple other little things, and this may seem silly, but I just think of the things that have really benefited our family as we were raising our kids is teaching the character of God, like setting boundaries for your kids. You know, they need to understand what their limits are in behavior, or their limits are in friendships, or their, you know, limits are with technology. I mean, all these things that we should set boundaries for our kids because we are their protectors, and it's huge. It's a huge huge responsibility for us, and so much reward from that. And just even teaching respect, you know, how to respect your parents, your siblings, and other people. And one of my favorite character qualities is self-control, because that is a hard one for all of us at times. And just when children get a hold of how to control that flesh, when that temptation rises up in them to throw a fit in the floor, and you train them about how to control that flesh, that carries over into their later years. And it's a beautiful thing, the way God's word and his character all works together for the good of their lives. It is a cool thing, and simple little things that we can do. And don't be easily offended. That's that sounds silly, but I know sometimes it seems like the daddies can do no wrong, right? Or the grandparents, right? And so a little bit, but, you know, not being offended by not things not being perfect, or, you know, your people just having moments of weakness. It says in Proverbs 31, this is a beautiful thing. It talks about a virtuous woman. And some of the descriptions, the words that are used is that she is strength and honor, and that is her clothing. She wears it like clothing. She opens her mouth with wisdom. On her tongue is kindness. She watches over the ways of her household well. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband praises her, and he is known in the gates. I don't know, just something beautiful about some real specific things that we can strive to be and do in our lives, and the beauty of what that does for the people that we have influence over. You know, and this all takes just, you know, such growth in us, and we're all on this journey of growth. And but the Lord knew that some of these things are the very hardest for us. And so that particular proverb talks a lot about really her relationships at home, to how wise she is in her investments in those people in her home. And it's crazy, because I know we all want influence. We all want purpose. We all want to be able to, you know, make money, have these great titles, whatever, whatever. But really, the cool thing that happens when you invest yourself well at home is that overflow does influence and pour out on the people that you care about and that you want to influence outside your home, probably greater than anything you could try to do on your own. So God's cool like that. Last little scripture here, 1 John 4, one of my favorites again. And I know we talk about it a lot in church, probably every year on Mother's Day. But when you think about none greaters in the Bible, there's a specific scripture that says, I have no greater joy in life than to see that my children walk in truth. I mean, good grief. How important is your job, Mama? How important is it? It's so important that there is nothing greater in this life. Because when your kids understand, they don't have to have it all figured out. You don't either. But when you know the truth of God's word, and you've it's been a part of your life outside of church, in your home, you know, they begin to see God and understand his love and who he is. And then they begin to walk it out and live it. And there is nothing greater that will satisfy us in this life than to see that those children know his truth and how to let that be a part of their life as they grow. We know none of us are perfect. You know, we all have a lot of struggles here and there. And, you know, probably us women, we have a lot of the same struggles. The enemy knows our weaknesses as a woman. Distractions, maybe regrets. Sometimes we want to give up too quick on people or on ourselves. I know we can get angry and be unkind. I can't tell you. There's been several times over the years I've had to ask my family for forgiveness, you know, when I've lost my temper or this or that. And, you know, think about when your kids are little, you know, and like when you count to three and they don't answer you back or they don't do what you've asked them. There's actually a word for this for us moms. It's called a momster. We turn into a momster. And so sometimes we just, you know, have to really give ourselves some grace. And we also have to extend that same grace that we need back to our kids, because they need that from us and our families. I'm going to see, as I close this out here, a few mamas that are here today, whether you're a stepmama, a grandmama, a spiritual mama. I'd love for all you ladies to stand, and let's recognize you today. And then stay standing, please. Mamas. I'll stand up for a minute. I hope you know how thankful your families are for you. You have so much influence. There's so many great, beautiful qualities of a mama. And if I could sum up the beauty of a good mama, I want to speak this over you ladies here today. It's that you, mama, are the glue of your family. You're the nurturer. You're the compassionate one, most likely. You are the heart of your home. You raise your girls to be feminine, mentally strong and kind, and you raise your young men to be full of honor and courage and the protectors in very manly ways. And you can run hard after God even in your weakest days. You love your kids. You serve your family with the perspective of what a wise investment they are. And you have a heart to honor God and to honor your people well. And even though you and I may not be the perfect moms, we are the perfect moms for our families. And we praise God for that today. Y'all pray with me. I'd like to pray over you, mamas. Lord God, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. What a beautiful day you've given us, Lord, in your house. We come here to praise and worship your mighty name, God. You are worthy of every bit of it and so much more, Lord. And we want to start off just thanking you for the gifts that only you give, Lord. The beauty of a mama's heart, the beauty of her role in her family, God, the calling you've placed on us to teach and train and to run hard after you, God, and to love and respect and honor and serve our people with all that we have. God, I just pray that you would just open our eyes again today to the beauty of that. Even in the tired seasons, even in the hard seasons, even when we're feeling grief and maybe we're feeling hopeless at times for different situations, I just pray, God, that you lift those mama's hearts and their eyes to you. You remind them of the strength they have living within them, that your Holy Spirit is a present help in trouble, God. And I just pray for those children who have lost mamas, or maybe adults who have lost their mamas, God, pray you just comfort and strengthen their hearts today. And I pray, Father, that you just fill their void, Lord. And we pray for mamas that have habits and addictions, Lord. I pray you just help them to desire you over anything this world can offer, Lord, and stir their hearts for you, God. We thank you for our mamas. We pray you bless them in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Y'all can be seated. Give Tubby some love. So, like, let me just tell you right quick, the best two-thirds of the service today are already over with. The worship service and what Tubby had to say, but now, because you're here, you're forced to listen to me for 15 more minutes. And so, man, just first of all, say thank you for coming, man. We're excited. Happy Mother's Day. And today's a great day. You know, we have so many volunteers at Bethel. We have so many people that serve and so many people that do well. And this place wouldn't be what it is without all the people that want to serve. And so today we have a couple of special birthdays today. Mr. Bailey Stogemahler, today is his birthday. And he helps and seats and does everything that he does. And then we also have an elder on staff, David Hager. David Hager is 72 today. So y'all put your hands together. Give him a little love. Lots of special things going on today. Did y'all see Darren playing the guitar? He has jeans and boots on today. Praise the Lord. No skinny jeans and sneakers on today. We'll be having a Pacheco baby running around if you keep dressing like that, Darren. Just saying. Amanda and Anna, they are our exchange students that are here with us today, and they are going back to Chile and Hungary, so we're thankful that you guys could come and hang out with us for a little while. And so we're thankful for connections with other people. That's one of our vision statements here at Bethel is to connect, to cultivate, and to carry on, to connect with God, connect with others, cultivate what God has done in our life, and carry on the work of the ministry of Jesus. And today I want to talk to you just a little bit about connection. Most likely you are here today because you have connected with someone here. You have friends that are here. You have family that are here. Someone has invited you. You are here at Bethel Assembly because you have been connected to the people in your life. One of our goals at Bethel Assembly, our main goal is to connect with God, number one, and then connect with other people. That's it. That's simple. That's what we do. That's why we do church. That's why we do everything that we do, because we know that when we connect with God, who is a life-giving God, everything changes in our life. How many of you are thankful to be connected with God today? Can I hear you say a good amen? How many of you remember when you were not connected to God? When you were by yourself, when you were living in the pig pen, when you didn't have this life-giving connection and you were hurting and you were struggling, and then somehow you came and you connected with this good, good Father up above, and everything changed at that moment. Connections, that's why we do what we do. Connection with God and connection with other people. I share this with you today because we're here and we're at a special season in Bethel Assembly. We're compacted in, we're packed in, we're standing up, we're in this auxiliary building. Our main sanctuary is gone, it is torn down, and we're in the process of building this new facility and this new campus. And so I need you to know what the vision is when this new campus gets here. It's just this: to connect with God and to connect with other people. That's what we do. God has changed our life. God has saved us. God is our all in all. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. And God reaches and grabs us by the mighty right hand. And all He asks us to do is grab someone else's hand and be the conduit to connect everyone to this life-changing God. That's why we do what we do. That's our vision here at Bethel. Proverbs 29:18 says this. Proverbs 29:18 says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So what is our vision? It's connecting people. Connecting people. I look at other churches and I have many pastor friends, and I see these other churches and people do churches different, and I'm not saying they're wrong and we're right. I'm saying we're all unique and we're all individual, and God gives us all this plan that He wants us to do. And I know churches that all they're about is preaching the Pentecostal message. That's all they want to do. They talk about miracles, signs, and wonders. I know other churches, and all they want to do is just be evangelistic churches. They want to go out. They want to hand out tracts. They want to knock doors. They want to tell people about Jesus. I know these other churches, and they're all about prophecy, and they're all about biblical literacy, and they're all about spiritual formation. Everybody has their own plan. Can I tell you what Bethel is all about? Connecting with God and connecting with other people. That's our vision. It's simple. It's plain. It's not complicated. It's what we are. It's the vision that God gave us 23 years ago. It's the vision. Just be real. How many of you know it would change our world if the church would just be real? Come on, somebody. How many of you know some weird somebody that says they believe in Jesus and they're weird and they're dysfunctional and they're awkward and they're all, just be real. Just be you. Just connect with the people. Be real. Be authentic. Be normal. Be a giver. Show concern for people outside of the church. Our job is to connect with God and connect with people. When Jennifer and I started 23 years ago, we had a sign made at the old Bethel Assembly back down the road. You know what the sign said? Simply preaching the simplicity of Jesus. That's all we wanted to do. Like if you knew me before Jesus. Anybody here? Can I hear a good amen? Like, it's just simple. They's like, Cody, what happened to you? Cody, what changed you? Cody, we knew you before. And I just simply say, I met Jesus. And Jesus changed my heart, and He changed my motive, and He changed my life, and He changed my marriage. Jesus changed the trajectory of my life. Simply preaching the simplicity of Jesus. It said Bethel Assembly, simply preaching the simplicity of Jesus. And then it said this: fun, friendly fellowship. How many know you can have fun serving Jesus? Come on, somebody. Fun. We want to have fun. It was fun and friendly. How many know the church of Jesus ought to be friendly? You sourpuss son of a buck, be friendly to everybody. People always say to me, well, I just don't have no friends at church. I just don't have no. Well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you want to have friends, you got to first show yourself friendly. So can I just tell you something today? Put a smile on your face and be friendly, you sour sucker, and speak to people that you don't know. Put a smile on your face and encourage somebody else. And if you'll be friendly, you'll have friends around Jesus Christ. Fun, friendly fellowship. Just fun and friendly and hanging out together, just connections. So many people that I know, they just long for real connections, real friends. How many of you know we're better together than we are by ourselves? Connecting with people is actually, it's one of my daily goals. Like where I go and what I do. Like I go to the restaurants, I go to the church, I go to the sale barn, I go and I day work, I go to all these places. You know what? I am intentional about just connecting with people. I don't have a spiritual word for everybody. I don't have a word of wisdom. I don't feel like God has asked me to pray for everybody. I just believe God has asked me to connect with people in a real and authentic way. And when I go to the restaurants, I try to connect with the waiter or the waitress. I'm crazy. I'm fun. I'm exciting. I ask them, can I pray for them? When I go to the grocery store, when I go cowboying, when I go to the sale barn, I'm just looking to connect with someone, and I'm looking to hold the hand of God and hold their hand, and so they might know the joy that I know through having a relationship with God. You would be surprised at how your life would change if you would just simply be intentional about connecting with other people in a real and authentic way. It would change our world. I just think about the connections here at Bethel. Can I tell you a really quick connection about here in Bethel? One time I went to get my truck inspected in Anson, Texas. One of my kids had just been born. I had some It's a Boy cigars in my console. Come on, somebody. And I pull up to get my truck inspected, and the guy that is going to inspect my truck is smoking a cigar. And so you know what? I just talk to him and I connect with him, and he goes, oh, wait a minute. I think I know you. You're the one from that cowboy church down there. I said, well, it ain't a cowboy. Yeah, that's me. I said, okay, that's me. And so when I get ready to leave, I pull a It's a Boy cigar out of my console, and I said, saw you smoking that cigar. I got a new baby boy. Let me give you a cigar. He goes, okay, well, I'll give you one of my cigars. We exchanged cigars. The next Sunday, he showed up at the church. He came down to the altar, gave his life to Christ, and you know what? Over a cigar, he came, his wife came, his son came, his daughter came, and his grandson came, and his whole family comes to this church because I was intentional about connecting with people in a real way outside of church. Wonder what would happen. Wonder what would happen if we all got intentional about it. So many ways, so many people, I don't have time to talk about it today, but connections. Connections with God and connections with people equal relationships. And relationships bring fulfillment and involvement, the fulfillment in life. Here's what we do at Bethel. Here's our goal. There are five basic needs to the human personality. Every one of you, red, yellow, black, or white, male or female, it doesn't matter. Every one of us have five basic needs. Number one, we want to feel significant. We want to feel like we matter. That's one of our goals at Bethel. If you come to Bethel, you matter. We don't care how poor you are. We don't care how rich you are. We don't care if you've had an abortion. We don't care if you've had to been through a divorce. We don't care if you filed bankruptcy. We don't care if you come here. We want you to know that you are significant, that you are created in the image of God, and that we love you just as you are. If churches just started making people feel significant, because we're all created in the image of God. Number one is feel significant. Number two, how many know we need a support system? I don't care how tough you are, how macho you are, how cowboy you are, by God, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We all need a support system. And there is no support system like the family of God. It's where I can come. It's where I can get support. Let struggles hit your family. Let sickness hit your family. Let problems hit your family. And all you got to do is shoot one text message to the church, and boom, it will go out, and you have prayer support with hundreds of people in this area and in the surrounding areas as well. Thank God for the support we have here at Bethel. Can I make another statement too? It's not only about the support you can get. It's about how you might support somebody else. If you come to church, our church wants to be a place of support. At some point, you have to learn, say, I'm going to support and encourage other people as well. That'd be significant to find a place of support and to find a place of stability. Now, I know your church is dysfunctional. Come on, somebody. I know your preacher's chicken fried. I know this music is a little bit different, but this is a place of stability for me. Can I tell you that throughout my week, I experienced this and I experienced that, and there's death and there's sickness and there's struggles, and this world seems to be a shifting place, and the economy and the government and the school systems, and I don't know, and what am I going to be, and I'm wavering. But when I come to church on Sunday morning, I know we're going to have some worship, and I know we're going to preach the word of God, and I know I'm going to have some support, and I know I'm going to feel significant. This is a place where I can come and feel stable and stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Stability, that's what our vision is, connect with people so they feel that stability. Can I take it another step? At some point, you got to learn to be stable yourself. Because so many of you, you just come into church, you're living this unwavering life, and you don't know, and you're here, and you're there, and you're coming here for stability. At some point, you got to suck it up, buttercup, and quit playing some little old soft, sensitive game, and quit having your feelings hurt, and quit being the one that's unstable. At some point, you have to become the stability for your family and those you have influence over. That was so good, y'all should have shouted amen. We need to feel set up, boy, that's what I'm talking about, my man. We need to feel significant, we need support, we need stability, and number four is, you know what we need? Stimulation. Because if you're not stimulated spiritually, you are just like me. You will get fat, sassy, and comfortable and stay exactly where you are. You need to come to church because you need somebody to give you the Holy Ghost hot shot. Come on, somebody. And I'm not talking about a red one or a green one. I'm talking about one of them yellow ones. Come on, can I get a witness? To hot shot you in the butt, because sometimes an old Bramer cow will sit and they will sow and they will stop and they won't go, and they need a hot shot to be stimulated to move forward. Can I tell you, you and me both need to be stimulated to move forward spiritually. I am so sick of these churches that are mealy-mouthed, panty-waist, little pussyfoot, sugar-coated places where they don't want to offend you and they don't want to make you feel bad. They're just taking care of you and taking care of your feelings and don't want you to be pushed too much. No, no, no. I need to go to a church where somebody would push me, where somebody would step on my toes, where somebody would make me feel a little bit uncomfortable, because I know that God has more for me out there than what I'm willing to do on my own without any stimulation. We need significance. We want to feel significant. We need support. We need stability. We need to be stimulated. And you know what we need to do? We need to be able to express ourselves for who we really are. As I look at this congregation, we are a Heinz 57 mix of people over here. We got red, yellow, black, white, male, female, doctors, business owners, cowboys, school teachers, car salesmen, bakers. But we got all this kind of stuff over here. And you know what? You don't need to fit into our kind of stigma. You just need to come as you are and be who you are to worship God. It's connection. It's what it is. That's what our vision is for this place. Everything we do at Bethel is to fulfill our vision and to connect with God and to connect with people. This greeting team that we have, Scott Riggins and them do such a great job. Don't you feel welcomed and greeted when you come in the front door? Shaking your hands, hugging your neck, man, they do a great job. You know why we do that? Just to connect with God, with you, and connect with others. Have you been to our food bar, coffee bar out there? I mean, good night. It costs lots of money and takes lots of work. I helped them unload the groceries that would just fill up the food out here the other day. There was like 17 bags of Walmart bags of groceries that we brought in, and cheese that they cut up, and summer sausage, and bagel bar, and cheese balls, and all this stuff. You know why we do all that? Just so that somebody might connect and have a relationship around the gospel in the coffee bar in there. We have free donuts. That's why we give your children candy cigarettes, y'all, and beef jerky stuff. We just want them to connect with the pastor, man, and connect with people. You have no idea how many kids come to the door out there and go, I got my tattoo like yours, Cody. Look at my cigarette. They connect. That's why we do what we do. It's why we have swag. It's why we have church merch. It's why we do family dances. C.S. Lewis once said this: friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. When we connect, when we realize, look at me, look. When we realize that we are all jacked up and all dysfunctional. And we go, wow, we're on the same playing field. When we get over our pride, when we have humility and we go, you know what, my marriage is a little bit jacked up too. My kids are driving me crazy sometimes. I'm a little bit broke. It's just this moment, that's connection. I want y'all to hear this statement right here. Revival starts when hurting people connect with God. Revival starts. Restoration comes when hurting people connect with a loving God. Can I tell you this? The revival continues to go and continue to burn when God's people connect with God's people. It's connection with God. Boom! Starts the flame. And then when we all connect together and have real authentic relationships, it's what keeps the revival fires going. Connection moving forward. I tell you right now, that's our whole vision. You know where we're at. We're cram-packed in this building over here. Our sanctuary is gone over there. We're in the process of building a new building over there. Can I tell you, I'm so excited about our new building. It's going to be so good. It's going to be exciting. And can I tell you, it's not about a building, and it's not about anything other than a place and a campus where people can connect with God and connect with one another and keep revival going. Would y'all show me the pictures? I want you to see this once again. I'm going to keep this in front of you. This is our new campus. It's what our new campus is going to look like. It's just a place where we can seat people without being crowded, without being uncomfortable. It's going to be an outdoor area where women can come, mamas can come, homeschool mamas, and bring their kids, and they can rope the dummy on the grass and they can play. Here's a place where we can come and drink coffee and do Bible study, and men can hang out and have men's groups. Everything that we're doing right there, what God is allowing us to build, just to connect with God and to connect with other people. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to do this, y'all, I didn't get into this thing 23 years ago to try to build some new building, try to raise some kind of money. But if God's been good to you here, and you've connected to God, and you've connected to people, and your life is changing and God is moving, it's going to take all of us to come together to get this thing done. And how cool is it going to be? I would challenge you today. I close with this. Challenge you. What are you willing to give? What are you willing to sacrifice to help us get this campus paid for? What are you willing to give above and beyond your tithe? If you're not a tither, you've never tithed, you know what your gift would be to this? Just start tithing 10%. God, you give me 100%, I'm going to give you 10% back. If you're already tithing, I'm asking you, what are you willing to give above your tithe to help us pay for this thing? May 26th, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, we're going to have our big commitment Sunday. What will you commit for 2 years? What will you give to get this thing? So that's going to be our big commitment day. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a celebration day. We're going to shoot confetti off. We're going to celebrate. It's going to be, if you think church is a little wild and a little loud right now, then maybe May 26th, you better watch online, because it's going to be really rowdy that day, because we're excited. Next Sunday, here's what I want to tell you. Next Sunday, y'all check out this new church merch. I dare you. Next Sunday, we got 600 pieces of caps and t-shirts, and you get a free cap or free gift next week. Because we want you to take your shirt, and we want you to take your cap, and it's, I dare you. I dare you to go home and pray and ask God, what can I do? What can I give to my home sweet church home? What can I sacrifice that will help people connect with God and help people connect with others? We get to be a part of this thing. Listen to me right quick. Look. Next week when you get the free t-shirt or cap, you get one or the other, not two. And don't come to me and go, don't come to Gigi out front and go, hey, but my spouse isn't here. Can I get an extra cap for my spouse? The answer is no. You get one piece. And you know why I know you would do that? Because your children do that when it comes to candy cigarettes. They say, can I get another package of cigarettes for my brother? And I'm like, I've been knowing you for 8 years. You have no brother. We got 600 pieces. Actually, we got 598 now that we're giving away. We want you to have one. We want you to wear your shirt on May 26th. Wear your cap, wear your shirt. We're going to come together. We're going to see what God would do, and I believe that God is going to move in a mighty way, and I still believe we're going to get this thing paid off in 2 years and keep praying. You know what? Can I tell you this? It doesn't matter how much money you give. Everybody can give something. People say to me all the time, well, Cody, we're broke. Cody, we're in poverty. Can I tell you this? It's not the amount that you give. It's the heart and the attitude of sacrifice that you give. And when we give something, God supernaturally comes in and he makes something into nothing. And he makes not enough into enough. That's what God does. Pray. So you know what? Maybe some of you could give a dollar, but maybe some of you could give 100,000. I mean, I don't know. I'm just praying for that. Maybe some of you could give 1.5 million. Come on, somebody. Conrad, come help me close. This place, I'm going to tell you something right quick. I am better because of this place. And I'm thankful to be connected with you at this place. I probably wouldn't be connected with you if it weren't for this place. I just wouldn't. Faye, I wouldn't be connected with you and your family. Because you sell gas, I preach. I mean, like I would know you, Shay has gas, just saying. I wouldn't be connected with you, AJ. I wouldn't be connected with you, John. I wouldn't be connected with you if it weren't for this, if it weren't for this church, if it weren't for this place. I wouldn't be connected with you, but through this place, Need, through this place, Breckenridge, God brought us here and he connected us. And the steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord, and he brought us here. And I'm better because I'm connected with you, and I'm greatly better because I've been connected with God. So I'm thankful for this place. It's the dream work. It's the teamwork that makes the dream work. So I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. Matter of fact, we're not going to sing because we're out of time. And we got to get another group in here. But can I just say, that's what you get when you choose to come to 9:30 service. Sorry, love y'all. We got to get you in and get you out. If you want to stay a little longer, come to 11 o'clock. No, you can do it. I'm going to pray, and then you come do the announcements. We're going to give away these gifts to you mothers. We got a gift. We're going to give you mothers a $250 gift card to Bucketheads in Abilene. Praise the Lord. We're going to give candy to your kids. But Father, we love you and we thank you for the connections that we have with you. God, you truly are a God that connects us. You truly are a God that changed our life when we just simply connected with you through the blood of Christ. Lord, thank you for that connection. Thank you for the connections of the people and the relationships that we have in this body. We pray that many more connections would take place. Lord, we love you. Ask you to be with us as we give, as we sacrifice, as we move forward. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord some love, and you can be seated.